It's Here and Now, and we're hearing this week from voices rarely heard in the increasing alarm over opioid addiction and overdoses, people dealing with pain. Yesterday, listener Christy Anos told us she's been living with chronic pain for more than 15 years. For 12 years, she managed her pain with the same dose of opioids, never increasing it. Then she says 3 years ago, she was told there'd been a paradigm shift in pain management, and her doctors reduced her dose. Now she says she's in debilitating pain, bedridden much of the time, and other pain patients say the same thing, that the unintended consequence of the fight against opioid addiction is the mistaken thinking that pain patients who need pills are addicts, and further adding to their pain, they say they aren't being heard. Well, our next guest is listening. Dr. Howard Fields is a professor of neurology at the University of California, San Francisco, director of the Wheeler Center for the Neurobiology of Addiction, and an expert in pain. And Dr. Fields, first, Christy also told us she feels suicidal sometimes. What should someone do if they're so despairing, genuinely in pain, and unable to get the dose of opioids they once got?
Well, obviously, the first thing they need to do is find a professional to talk to about their feelings. They should also find out the complete rationale for why her medications were cut back when she seemed to be in a stable situation, having good pain control and not escalating her dose.
Well, this is what she said, that she never escalated her dose. And in Christy's case, she says, I'm dependent on the drugs to relieve my pain, but I'm not addicted to them. Is there a difference?
There is a very big difference. Addiction really gets to the issue of compulsive overuse of a drug so that it becomes the dominant thing in your life. If you are going to a physician once a month and getting your prescription refilled, and you're able to lead a normal life by taking a pill maybe 3 or 4 times a day, you're not addicted. But if you're spending all your time in the search of a drug or trying to get the money to buy that drug or stealing from your friends or going around in other people's medicine cabinets looking for opioids, then you're addicted.
Well, and does it then follow that if the pain that you were taking the drugs for in the first place stops, you can stop taking those pills unless you're an addict?
99% of people stop taking their medications when the cause of their pain goes away.
Yeah. Well, then talk about what we're seeing in the statistics from, for instance, the CDC. They say there's been a 300% increase in prescription opioid sales since 1999, with no similar increase in the pain that Americans are reporting. Do you think there's an overprescribing of these opioid drugs?
Well, I'm not going to argue with the facts from the CDC. I think they're pretty objective and they're correct. However, I think the important point for people to understand is that the overuse and the overdose and the deaths from heroin overdose is a separate issue from pain management. The problem is that people who are already addicted are coming in complaining of pain in order to get these drugs. There's another big problem, which people don't talk about, is that people are getting prescribed these drugs. Maybe their pain goes away. They put them in the medicine cabinet. Their granddaughter comes in, sees the medication, says, okay, my friend says OxyContin's great. I'm going to take these pills. Grandma's not using them. And she goes out and takes it. She never had any pain.
Right. But I want to stay with something you just said, which is that people are coming into doctors and complaining of pain that they may not have just to get the drugs. How do you tell as a doctor? How do you know someone really is in pain?
Ultimately, you can't know whether somebody's really in pain. However, there are various ways which you will raise your index of suspicion that someone is getting more drugs than they need. So typically, somebody who's been taking medications for a while will come in and say, well, I had to increase my dose because it wasn't working. Could you refill my prescription early? Or I lost my prescription. Or someone took my pills. Or the dog ate them. Whenever you have something like that, you begin to worry. And there are ways that you can tell whether somebody's taking the drugs that are prescribed for them. They're so-called urine testing. So there are these tests that you can use. The other thing that I think is very important for physicians before they start a patient on opioid medications, which are potentially addicting, although for most people they're not, is to find out whether somebody's actually ever had a history of drug abuse in the past. Have they used cocaine? Do they smoke marijuana? Do they have an alcohol abuse problem? If any of those things are present, then it should raise a red flag.
Well, what about the general argument that people are making now, that there's a feeling that people are being prescribed it who don't need it? How does that narrative, this idea that people were over-prescribing pain medication, I'm just wondering if you feel a little embattled in the field that is trying to treat people with pain.
The problem, the greater problem is that there's a huge reluctance in general of physicians to prescribe adequate medication for patients who really are in pain and have a very low risk of becoming addicted.
Yeah, you say
that's the big problem.
Yeah, and you've told us you're actually kind of an outlier in your department because you make that case. You actually think people are maybe under-prescribed, under-treated.
Yes, I think that. And I think if you read the actual epidemiological data and the data from insurance companies and group health organizations, the data suggests that the vast majority of people are undertreated for their pain. And I think that that's in part due to the scare of overdosing and having the drugs diverted and making somebody who never was an addict and never had a drug abuse problem into an addict. You know, my position on that is that's very rare.
And by the way, this isn't new for you. You have long felt...
No, it's not new.
Yeah. You've long felt that people are being undertreated for pain.
Absolutely. I know people are being undertreated for pain.
Yeah. Well, what do you say about the argument that, and I think the FDA is making it, they want, here's one of the things they want to do, support better pain management options, including alternative treatments. I'm thinking maybe yoga or something. I'm not sure, but they want
to... I'm totally in favor of that.
Yeah.
I use everything at my disposal.
But what if it means moving away from opioids?
If the pain is controlled adequately, it would be a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, opioids are the most effective pain relievers we now have. You want to use them optimally, but you only want to use them when they're necessary.
Yeah. Well, and what would you say to, I know we have listeners because we've spoken to them as well. We just met a young man up in New Hampshire at an opioid addiction center who, you know, I think he broke his tailbone. And he started on pain medication, and that led, he said, that led him down the path to addiction.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell people who are saying, but wait a second, pain medication, treatment for pain can lead to addiction?
Yes. What I would say is that there's two possibilities. I mean, one is that the dose of medication they were getting was too high. The person didn't go to a physician that was knowledgeable about the use of opioids. The other possibility is that there were risk factors that were present before the person was started on their opioid medication that made their use more risky than in the general population. So you have to have a fairly good idea of what the risk factors are. Now, if somebody comes into my office, let's say a school teacher who's never had a drug problem, is actively engaged in their profession, had chronic arthritis in their right hip, nonsteroidals aren't working, I'd be willing to give that person a trial of an opioid. I'd say, look, I don't know how good this is going to be, but it might be the answer because I've had many patients that have been on what I would call a reasonable dose of an opioid over many months and have not become addicted, have not escalated their dose, and have done quite well. And this was the case for the woman that you talked about at the beginning of this interview.
Right.
There was, in my mind, there was no reason to cut her opioids.
Howard Fields, professor of neurology at the University of California, San Francisco, director of the UCSF Wheeler Center for the Neurobiology of Addiction, and founder of the UCSF Pain Management Center. Dr. Fields, Howard, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And again, this story was born of a comment that woman left at our website. We'll link you to the conversation we subsequently had with her at today's story. So please feel free to leave a new comment. We read them at hereandnow.org.